high school, I was jumped by the rest of the gym class in the locker rooms, and I had my arms and my legs duct taped and my mouth duct taped.
160,000 students will skip school because of bullies. They'd rather be home or on the streets, according to the National Education Association. Bullies, not only in school, but it can occur in the workplace, it can occur in your home, it can occur in the church, it can occur in the neighborhood. And we've got some help. We're going to just hear stories from people from all over the country, some recorded, some of you calling in live, who tell us their story, what they've learned about bullies. We know it's a problem, it's a big problem. And now with technology, cyberbullying is a huge, huge, huge problem as well. So here's what we're going to do today and tomorrow. We're going to just open the phone lines, and I would like to have you join in and help by telling me a little bit about your experience, but also what one thing you've learned that's helped you, okay? And I'll add my input from the work that we've done, the research we've done, and we've got some scripture that'll be very encouraging to you as well. Phone line is open, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Let me get a definition here so we're all on the same page. Bullying, by definition, is to harm or intimidate those who are perceived as being weak. And people will take advantage, and of course, we'll be very clear up front. If we're talking about physical harm, you need to get help and get help immediately. But how do your kids deal with this, and, you know, with siblings or in the school and so on, or online today? What have you learned? Love to have you join in. Tell us, parents, what you're doing that's practical, that's helped, or maybe your own story that helped you. Maybe you were one that was bullied. Someone made a comment. We did this topic a number of maybe a year or two ago, actually. And I can recall someone calling and saying, hey, I was the bully, and I don't hear any other bullies calling. And to be honest, to say, hey, you know, I struggled with this when I was a kid, and this is what I've learned, and this is what was going in my mind. We got a story coming up on that in a moment. All right, phone lines open, 888-888-1717 is the number. Mike, you're first from Arizona. Go right ahead.
When I was a kid back in, you know, grade school and high school and whatnot, I was a smaller kid, and I was bullied by a guy. And one of my biggest things was I felt kind of uncomfortable. Well, not necessarily uncomfortable, but kind of afraid to go and even talk to my dad about being bullied, because I'm 46 years old, and back in that time, the dads were a little bit harder on the kids, and, you know, just the fear of thinking, well, my dad's going to think I'm a wimp, so I wouldn't say anything and just kind of dealt with it. But it actually got to a certain point to where I got tired of it. I was afraid of the kid. He was considerably bigger than me. And so anyway, I went and I walked to his house with him walking behind me. And I went up and I talked to his mother. And I said, you know, your son keeps starting to beat me up after school, and he can probably hurt me, but I'm going to let him know that I'm there. After that conversation with the mom, bullying actually stopped. So I think that right now in this day and age, some kids may be a little bit apprehensive about talking to their parents about it, just because of the fear of thinking that, well, you know, they're going to think I'm a wimp and that I'm a crybaby and stuff like that. I just wanted to kind of bring that out there as a point that I hadn't really heard anybody talk about.
It's a good point. So you of your own initiation, went to the mother of the bully and talked to her?
Yes, after school. We lived quite a bit away from where the bus stop was, so it was kind of an agonizing walk, so to speak.
Did your mom know you were doing that?
No.
You just did it on your own?
I did it on my own. I you know, it was going to be me or him, and, you know, praise God that his mom was actually there and listened, and she took the control of it, and the bullying actually stopped.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Hey, listen, in your case, Mike, that, you know, it doesn't always turn out that way. Because sometimes, not always, but sometimes the bullies have parents who don't care, or they're bullies themselves, or they don't get it. But the fact that mom got it and dealt with her son, that was positive. And one of the things we hear, too, is the kids often are concerned about being the snitch, you know, going turning in the other kid, because it only exacerbates it, makes it worse, because then it gets around, they got a snitch on this stuff, and so it becomes complicated. And of course, now with cyberbullying, it's so serious. We see kids that are is affecting mental health and performance in school. And we know the stats. I have some here that were rather staggering. When you think about what can happen, 70% of school staff say they've been bullied, you know, by either coworkers or by some of the students. And according to the National Bullying Center, 20% or 1 in 5 students feel bullied, made fun of, rumors, online bullying, maybe because of their race, their appearance, disability, or their faith or religion. What's interesting is 20% of tweens, that's, you know, the 9 to 12-year-olds, the in-betweens, say they've been cyberbullied. My guess is it's even higher as you get to the older ages. And, of course, the stats are real clear. This increases the risk of depression, anxiety, lower academic achievement, and can be a problem. But it's interesting. It happens in the workplace as well. It can happen in ways that maybe the people aren't even aware. And sometimes in the workplace, what we see with bullying in the workplace is some sort of an abuse or misuse of power. And that can come through intimidation. It can come through degrading somebody. You know, how could you do that? Or you know better than that? Or being offensive or humiliating somebody, especially in front of their coworkers. And that can be a form of bullying as well. So. All right. What have you learned? What's one thing? Give us a call. 888-1717 is the number. Linda in Arizona. Hi there. How are you?
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your story?
Yeah. So this is actually, so I'm a 68-year-old woman. My brother passed away from suicide from bullying at the age of 62. We were a very average family, raised on the East Coast for a while, West Coast for a while. He had unfortunately been bullied probably the better part of his life as a young person in school. We were Christians. We'd gone to Catholic school. We were raised in a European family that both sets of parents came from, you know, generations abroad. And so we didn't have a lot of help in the coping skills, certainly related to the trauma that would happen. And so I don't know that my brother ever shared any of what he was experiencing.
Hmm. This was really all when he was young, going through school and into adult life as well?
Oh, indeed, indeed. So it went on into his career. He was a beautiful architect. He had a wonderful career. He had no demons, if you will. He just had a very poor self image that was never nurtured appropriately as we were young people. And I'm going to cry here, so bear with me.
All right, that's fine.
At the age of 62, he took his life. I won't tell you how, but his wife found him. It was really, really awful. And so here I am, I'm the only surviving family member. And I think about it every day. I still grieve for him. Talk to him all the time. But here's the difference. I continued on in my faith. I don't know if this is the difference, but this is just a piece. I continued on in my faith. We were Catholic. And my brother did not. He actually was agnostic or atheist. And I still to this day believe if he had known Jesus, if he had a relationship with God, he may have been able to get some help. But the difficult part is knowing during his funeral and subsequent discussion from people who talked about him, we learned that he had been bullied well into his later adult years. He was a man of small stature, so he was, you know, there were things that they could easily pick on him for, but a brilliant, brilliant man, a musician, an artist, architect, just a gifted, gifted individual.
It's really a sad story, isn't it, Rebecca, to know that because of your stature or the way you feel about yourself, then sometimes we put ourselves into a position where we become prey. I hate to use the word, but that's really what it is for people who want to bully. And what we see are sometimes the in excess people will lash back out and do dumb things when they get bullied. That's not productive. But to understand that we live in a culture where this is occurring online, it's occurring in the workplace, it's occurring in school every day. I'm so sorry for your loss, Rebecca, but we want to continue to pray for you and your family, and I'm glad you're listening today. I'm sorry, Rebecca. I'm sorry, Linda. I'm sorry. But we want to continue to pray for you there, Linda. Thank you for your call.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you as well.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about that. You know, I'm thinking for those of you, maybe you can relate, you feel that way. You feel like you're being bullied even as adult. Partly you know it's because of your own lack of understanding who you are, of not feeling good about yourself. Here's a verse from Psalm 34 to encourage you. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God loves you, and cares for you. Let's take a break. And Rebecca, I'll be back with you in just a moment. And others, you can join us. What have you learned about bullying to help somebody else who's listening with kids? In fact, Rebecca, she says she used to be a bully. And we'll find out her story in just a moment.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We've all had those situations in life where we can either run to God or away from Him. In these defining moments, asking the right questions and prayerfully making decisions can change our lives and the lives of people around us. In Dr. Randy's message, Defining Moments, you'll hear how Nehemiah and Jonah responded to God in dramatically different ways. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And listen, I hope you'll do that. Thank you, Kurt. You know, we're down literally to this weekend, finishing up the month of August. We're going into September. Got a great month ahead. I've always been transparent with you and honest with you about where we are. We're listener-supported. We rely on your gifts and your prayers to do what we do every day. We can't do it without your support. We're a little bit behind where we need to be closing up August. And we have a special campaign in September. And we have something very special going on our website right now, a drawing. You can check that out. And it's encouragement to get involved. But we need your help. And I just want to throw out there, maybe as you close this month of August, God has blessed you in a way that you could stamp up and help us with a gift. We'd appreciate it, whatever God lays on your heart. Come and join us monthly. We want to be able to send you our ongoing material, make it available to you on our website. How do you do that? It's very simple. Today, call 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Press number 2, talk to our staff. Or you can go online to theintentionallife.com and click donate and join us there. Okay? We need your help. Thank you for what you can do. We love you. We need you. You know, one of the things about bullies or being bullied is developing the kind of mental toughness, because that's really what's being attacked, your mind. And our friend King Hoover, who's a fitness coach, including working with SWAT teams, gives some insight on developing mental toughness with your kids.
Most people think of mental toughness like the kind of training Navy SEALs or Marines might take. This picture either makes parents reluctant or heavy-handed when helping their youngsters in this area. The truth is, mental toughness is a simple strategy focusing on four areas. Think of it as a platform with four legs, and each leg has two parts, one that attaches to the platform where your son or daughter stands, and the other touches the ground, providing stability in their environment. Researchers call this the 4 C's model, with four legs being control, commitment, challenge, and confidence. Each leg has two elements, one personal and internally oriented. The other orients outward and is a feedback instrument, reinforcing and informing the inward aspect. These days, feelings on a matter tend to have a greater weight and influence than the facts of the case. This is a recipe for confusion and bad results.
More coming up with King Hoover a little bit later in the show. Right now, let's go to Rebecca in Arizona, who apparently confesses that you used to be a bully, Rebecca?
Yes.
How do you think? Well, how did you do that, and why do you think you were a bully?
Growing up, I didn't exactly have the greatest family situation.
Mm-hmm.
I was sexually assaulted by my brother's best friend, and then consistently picked on by my older siblings. And by older, I mean I'm 12 of 13, and my eldest sister is 55. Hmm. I'm currently 36.
So you didn't grow up in an environment where you necessarily got some instruction or felt good about yourself, and so in turn you kind of took it out on kids at school and so on?
Correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was up until I was 15, I was the mean kid. I was, you know, you looked at me wrong and I was going to hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom's drug addiction overtook everything, and she died of an overdose at 15 when I was 15. Mm-hmm. And then, a friend of mine, he had been trying to get me to go to church with him, and I kept telling him, no, I don't want to, don't want to. And so I had finally given in and attended the road church with him. And through that, I met Pastor Sam, who I have been attending church with for 21 years. And it helped me realize that my family life and the things that I was handed as a kid and not taught how to handle is what essentially resulted in me, you know, picking on everybody else around me because I wasn't happy with what was going on in my mm-hmm. life. So I was them unhappy.
Yeah. Hurt people hurt people. I mean, that's just a fact of life. So you came to Christ, you met the Lord there through that experience with the church, Rebecca?
Correct.
Amen.
Yeah.
How are you doing now? What's going on now?
So this is kind of like one of those weird double-edged swords in my life. I have an autistic 9-year-old, and she has been experiencing bullying from one child in particular at her school since she was in first grade. Mm-hmm. It finally came to a head last year, and because last year my youngest was in kindergarten, and my youngest had come onto the playground and my eldest daughter's bully pushed her. And my little kid, I mean, she's small, you know, she's 5, so she's short, took on an 8-year-old that was standing like 5 foot. The teachers described it as a spider monkey situation because she came to her sister's defense.
Did that stop it?
Yes, it stopped it. And my eldest daughter's bully never touched her again. She also expelled from the school because of what she did.
Yeah.
You know, because we had so many documented situations of this girl bullying my kid. And that one was just the absolute nail on the head that got her kicked out of an elementary school.
Well, you know, there's, of course, we never endorse violence, but you know what? There is a message there of confidence. One of the things that we know about bullies is that they will prey on those who don't have confidence in who they are and can they stand up for themselves. And of course, there's really appropriate times where you need to get the teacher involved and the parents involved, and you need to get to the next level. I always tell someone, if you're listening and you're being bullied and you don't know what to do, even as an adult or as a young person, go find someone and talk to them. You know, talk to about what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. Get some help so you can put a plan together on how do you approach this. Sometimes it's appropriate to go to the school officials and deal with it, certainly. I'd love to have some school people who are listening. I know many of you are in the school right now, but those of you who work in school or have worked in school, what do you want to hear from kids that are being bullied? What helps with kids that are being bullied or in the workplace? Some of you work in HR departments. How do you help employees deal with this in the workplace? What kind of training's going on and so on? Because it's a serious problem. And I can hear from you, Rebecca, that, like you said, you've been the full circle. You've been the bully, and you've now had the process of going through this with your own child. And congratulations on coming to the Lord. And that's the ultimate reminder that if you feel like your life has been difficult and you've been through a lot of loss and pain and trauma, I hope you're getting help for that. But also knowing the ultimate help is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Quick break. We'll be back. Number four, when you have a defining moment, don't make personal survival essential to success. Now, I wrote that and I show it to Donna and she says, well, if you don't personally survive, how are you going to succeed? But you know, in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah didn't make his personal survival an option. He risked it all. He laid it on the table. Jonah, on the other hand, made his personal survival essential in his life. I am convinced, as I've looked at Scripture, there is nothing in Scripture that says the goal of my life is to survive. What I mean by that is the idea that we want to take care of ourselves, but we are to be a sacrifice for the Lord in terms of how we live our lives and realize that we live in a world where we're going to be hated and marginalized because of our faith. Talk about bullying. There's a lot going on right now toward those of us in different ways, in different forms, who are followers of Christ. And yet, as the Bible says, boy, I got a whole bunch of verses here that are convicting. Romans 12, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Ephesians 4, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. 1 Peter 3, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. Those are hard words. Wouldn't you like at times that God would say, go get them, you know? And yet as a follower of Christ, we've been taught a different way, with confidence, by the way. All right, we got to run out of time here in a moment. You can join us, 888-888-1717. We're going to continue to record for a program tomorrow. Let's get to some that are standing by. I want to share their story. We go next. Let me see here. We're going to go to Rose in Arkansas, I think. Tell us, it sounds like you were a bully as well. What were you like when you were in school?
I used to be a bully. And the reason I was a bully is because I was a very angry child. I wanted to take it out on other people because I couldn't take it out on the person that was causing the angry and the pain. I'm not proud of being a bully. I'm praise God and thank God that He's changed my life. I just want people to know that there's more to it than just power, because yes, power comes with it, because when you're powerless, you become a bully so that you can feel that power. But also there's more to it than just that. There's pain beneath the anger. There's things that you don't understand when you're young, when you are being a bully. So I would just like to let the parents know that those bullies are in pain too. And no, there's no excuse for it. There's no reason that this should happen to other children. But I'll tell you, you reap what you sow, because my child was bullied also, and I believe that was because of me. Praise God, I'm changed.
Well, I'll tell you what, you I guess echo what we just heard from Rebecca. You know, we get hurt as kids and we want to lash out to others. That's for sure. All right, let me go to the phone. We got Dia on the line in New Mexico. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hi, Dr. Randy. It's a great pleasure to be here with you guys today.
Well, I appreciate your call. Go right ahead. What's your story?
Well, I just kind of wanted to chime in for when I love this. It wasn't me that it was bullied. It was my son in elementary school. And it was horrible watching my son, but he would come home and talk to me about it. So as I was teaching him to talk about it, I would tell him, honey, we have to think about what his home life is and what's wrong. So please just be patient and maybe, you know, just, you know, try to stay away. And I was PTA president at the time, and I was not allowed to talk to the parents that was bullying my child. But my son, Jacob, he stuck with it, and they went through elementary, junior high, and even graduated high school together and ended up being friends because I just told Jacob, think about what he's going through and don't let him bully you. No violence, you know, just good thoughts, good prayers. And I just, this is touching my heart with all the people that were bullied. I never got bullied, but I get, as an adult, you get bullied as a Christian, I will say. But and that's tough. But, you know, parents on both sides, the bully and the one that's being bullied, I hope they understand, and I pray for it all the time, that they understand what the other person is going through, the other child or the other adult is going through. And I'm glad that I taught my son just to forgive, you know, try to forget and not be bullied and just be his friend. And they ended up friends.
Well, that's amazing. You know, we and every situation is different. Thank you for your call, Dia, from New Mexico. Every situation is different. Again, as we're closing up the show, tomorrow we've got a whole lineup of calls that are going to share stories of being bullied and what they learned and what God's taught them and what their experience. So maybe you know someone who can benefit from that. I hope you'll join us tomorrow and listen to this show again. But I want to close by making a couple of things. We need to be intentional. If your kids or yourself are being bullied, don't go hide. Be intentional. Sometimes you need to be direct, to go to that person, if it's appropriate and safe, and be very clear. When you did this, this is what's going on. And you got to be confident in your response. And then be alert to the situations that can trigger it. Sometimes it's things that we do that can set off another person. We don't mean to, but it happens. Not that we walk on eggshells, please. And then be aware, as we've heard throughout the show today, of their own weakness. Weak people tend to be bullies, not strong people. Strong people don't need to do that. And of course, if you can get one-on-one and talk to a person, sometimes you can break down walls. They always seem more empowered when they're in a group, don't they? All right, we just scratched the surface. More tomorrow on Intentional Living on this topic. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Randy for our entire team. Have a great day. This is Intentional Living from Intentional Life Media.